Last week, we started a new sermon series called The Upside Down Kingdom. This short four-part series is taking us up to In-Gathering Sunday, which we celebrate right before Thanksgiving. And then Advent starts the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Friends, Advent is less than a month away. I have no idea where the fall has gone. But before we start preparing for the birth of Jesus, we have some grappling to do with his teachings. The sermons in this Upside Down series are focused on Mark chapter 10 and how Jesus' teachings about discipleship turn the ways of the world on their head. Now, if you remember from last week, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's headed there for what will be his last visit. This journey to Jerusalem will take Jesus to his arrest and betrayal, to his trial and humiliation, to his crucifixion, and to his death. Jesus is on his way, but he keeps getting sidetracked. The crowds swarm him, the sick seek him, the Pharisees doubt him, the disciples disappoint him. In the verses right before our scripture reading for today, which is the passage we heard last week, Jesus discovers that the disciples are discouraging people from bringing their children to him. He is appalled because he wants to bless them. Jesus turns the world upside down when he responds to his disciples then by saying, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the realm of God like a child shall not enter it." Jesus teaches it's the children who are blessed. It's the ones without power or authority or status who will most easily find their place in the kingdom of God. Now, as Jesus tries to get back on track with his journey to Jerusalem, he is interrupted yet again. A man comes up to him and kneels down and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, it turns out this man is rich. He has many possessions, which means he has power and authority and status. And Jesus just taught a lesson about that, which we heard last week. Now let's see what Jesus says today and how he turns the world upside down in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Now, our middle hymn today is "Take Thou Our Minds, Dear Lord." It is this prayerful invitation for us to give our whole selves over to God. If you're worshiping here in the sanctuary, you'll find it in the hymnal, number 467. If you're worshiping from home, there should be a link that is dropping into the comments. Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if it was strange for Jesus that a man came up and asked him how to gain his life when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to lose his. But whether Jesus found it strange or surprising or not, he stopped again and took a moment to teach. He reminded the man first of the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Have you done all that? Jesus seemed to ask him. And yes, he said, I have kept all those since my youth. What else, Jesus? What else can I do? Jesus looked at him with love and said, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. That wasn't exactly the answer the man was looking for. And if we're honest, it's probably not the answer we want to hear either. Jesus' words and his commands are clear. Go, sell, then come, follow. When the man heard what Jesus said, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions, and he couldn't quite imagine how he could go and sell and then come and follow. Now, the disciples were shocked too. Jesus was turning their world upside down. In Jesus' time, wealth and possessions were seen as a sign of God's blessing. Riches were seen as a sign of faithfulness, and poverty was seen as a sign of sinfulness. But then Jesus seemed to turn everything on its head when he said how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. No wonder the man was shocked and the disciples perplexed. Jesus was taking away their very understanding of how God worked in their lives and in the world. Jesus was teaching them that wealth was not actually a blessing, but rather a burden. Now, in our own time, riches continue to be a sign of success. In our own culture, possessions continue to be some measure of achievement. Our worth in the eyes of the world is measured by the size of our paychecks and the value of our homes. And the media thrives on its ability to make us want more and more, promising that clothes and cars and electronics and gadgets will ultimately bring us happiness. But then Jesus turns all of that on its head when he says, go, sell, then come, follow. Now, it's interesting because commentators have spent centuries trying to soften Jesus' words here. Some have argued that the word for camel is similar to the Greek word for rope. That makes the image make more sense, really, putting rope through a needle, something that is certainly still hard to do, but maybe not so impossible. Others have referred to a small gate into the city of Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, and camels could fit through that gate, but only if they were unloaded and went through without anything on their backs. Again, it seems like those commentators are trying to say, see, what Jesus says isn't impossible, it's just really hard. But unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be any evidence that that gate actually existed into Jerusalem. So what we're left with, even after commentators have tried for centuries to make this teaching easier, what we are left with is this. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And that is a tough one, isn't it? It's tough because we live in a world that is completely centered around money. And how the world views money is so out of whack. A recent study asked Americans with at least $1 million in investable assets whether they felt wealthy or not. Only 13% of them said yes, they felt wealthy. And most of us would probably say we would be happier if we had more money, right? Even though study after study has actually shown that how happy we are is not at all correlated to how much money we have. Yet it feels impossible to step away from this drive to get more money. We'd rather try and explain away Jesus' teaching about money than stop trying to get rich. But no matter how hard we try and explain it away, we are still left with this. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, last week, we asked ourselves why we focus so much of our lives on gaining worldly power and authority and status if those things don't really matter to God. And this week, we can ask ourselves a similar question. Why do we spend so much of our lives trying to get rich if wealth doesn't matter to God? And just like last week, I am going to answer that question by saying this. I truly believe this is one of the reasons we need church. We need this opportunity each week to step away from the messages of our culture, from the ways of the world, and hear again about the ways of God's kingdom. We need to be reminded that all of those systems in our culture that so value money, those systems can seem so very seductive, but they have nothing to do with the structure of salvation in the kingdom of our God. Because the kingdom of God has nothing to do with our worth in the eyes of the world. The kingdom of God has everything to do with God's grace. And remember, that grace teaches us that nothing is impossible with God. So maybe if we hold tight to that knowledge, we can let go a bit of our grip on money. Now, one of the things that helps us relax our grip on money a bit is the spiritual practice of giving. And isn't that just the perfect tie-in for Stewardship Sunday? Now, let me say this. Our annual pledge campaign is not disconnected from our need to pay the bills, right? If we're honest, there are expenses related to running a vibrant congregation, expenses that compensate our staff and care for our building and keep our church's programs going strong. But I truly believe that giving to the church is about more than just paying the bills. Because here, we give in order to live out our faith more deeply. We give because there is something powerful that happens when we release our grip on money and hold tight instead to the grace of our God. There is something powerful that happens when we step away from the ways of the kingdom in order to more fully live into, when we step away from the ways of the world in order to more fully live into the ways of the kingdom. Now, after worship today, you will have the opportunity to pick up your 2022 stewardship packet. And it seems somehow impossible to believe that we are already planning for 2022, but here we are, asking for you to prayerfully consider your financial commitment to the church for the coming year. Now, friends, we were able to do so much together, not only just over the last year, but really over the last 18 months or so, even all through the pandemic. And I truly believe that God has amazing things in store for us as we make our way into 2022 and beyond. And I truly believe this. Friends, we are the church together. We need each one of you in order to make the picture of our church complete. And you're going to get a little reminder of that in your stewardship packet. If you remember, you each got a piece of a puzzle back in September. You brought those pieces in, and we created a beautiful full puzzle from the pieces that were returned. Now you get a whole puzzle for yourself. So there is a little version of that big puzzle that is in each of your stewardship packets for you to pick up today, for you to take home and remember that you are part of what makes this picture complete. And friends, it is through your presence, your prayers, and your pledge that this church can remain a strong and vital community of faith. So I hope you will participate in the life of this church by showing up and sharing your presence, either in person or virtually. I hope you will lift OSU up to God by remembering the church in your prayers. And I hope you will give your financial support to the church by filling out a pledge card. Friends, it is your presence, your prayers, your pledge that will allow us to be the church together into 2022 and beyond. Friends, what we do as a church matters. We need each other and we need this place where we can step away from the ways of the world and live more fully into the ways of the kingdom. We need each other. And we need this place. We need to keep being the church together. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for us as the journey continues. Amen. Our closing hymn today is another reminder for us to hold the things of this world lightly. Because when we give to God, we give God what God has first given to us. So our closing hymn is We Give Thee But Thine Own, number 515, if you're here in the sanctuary. If you're worshiping from home, there should be a link dropping into the comments.